Enlightenment is not something that happens to you in one day. It's a very gradual experience that takes place actually over many, many lifetimes. Some people are under the assumption that it's sort of a flash-bang experience. Not really. It's just each day your awareness becomes more formless. You're less in the world of time and space, less in duality, and a little more conscious of eternity or eternality. But enlightenment does not preclude the physical. That is to say, it isn't necessary to reject the world or commonplace events because enlightenment exists everywhere, in all things, in all experiences. Enlightenment is the awareness of awareness, becoming eternally conscious, waking to life. And those wakings or spiritual epiphanies can occur in the darndest places. Sometimes they occur while you're seated in meditation in a situation like this. Sometimes they might occur while you're shopping in the supermarket or hiking up a canyon somewhere in traffic, at work, with someone you love, in a terrible situation. Suddenly a moment will turn on itself, it'll dovetail, and it will become eternity. You'll step outside of time. It's not just a question of being out of the body in the sense of an astral experience, but suddenly you'll become aware of the timelessness of existence, of the perfect beauty and stillness of life. Those moments add up as we have them over and over again and more frequently. Gradually, eventually, we become a moment like that ourselves. So, someone who's enlightened is like a hole in time. If you're interested in studying, of course, if that's your bent, if you're interested in becoming more conscious, more aware, more beautiful, essentially, if you really like beauty and you'd like to be a very beautiful being, then there are a series of ways to accomplish that. Traditionally, of course, in the books, they say that you should go seek out a teacher. Now, I always wonder about that because I figure these books were written by teachers. So, but, you know, who am I to buck the system? So, I think that you just have to be yourself. That's the most important thing that you can do in self-discovery, is to be yourself, to not try and do your meditation, your experience like anybody else. There are some schools of self-discovery where they tell you that what you should do is, you know, do this practice, and at 6 a.m. you get up, and at 6:30 you wash, and you do the 7, you do and 11. And they lay out your whole life for you, and I suppose that works for some people. At a certain phase, it can be good. You need the discipline, something like that. But in the more advanced aspects of the self-discovery experience, it's really not necessary to do that. We have a much more fluid way of dealing with consciousness. It's no less intense or disciplined, probably more. But what we're interested in doing is learning to become conscious, not in any particular structured way. As a matter of fact, it's a real pain in the neck for people who have gotten attached to structure. A lot of people have problems with advanced self-discovery because they get so attached to the basic practices in self-discovery in their early years that when you finally run into someone who is a little more demanding and they say, okay, now let's really, you know, you're interested in advanced self-discovery, great, now let's do some things. And you had a picture-perfect idea in your mind of what advanced self-discovery would be like. You figure you're going to sit around and eat bananas all day or something. I don't know. But you have ideas, and it's nothing like that at all. It's different for everybody, but yet there are certain stages or experiences that everyone must go through. Yet your approach to them, the way they happen to you, will be unique to yourself. Do you need a teacher? I don't know. It depends on how you feel. I think the most important thing is to have heart, to have a sense of love and well-being, and then everything will fall in place. If you don't have that, then nothing will really work out for you. What matters is aspiration. You know, it's funny, people want everything, but sometimes they don't want to do the one thing they need to do to make it all happen or take place. And the thing that you need to do is to love, to love, to love, to love. In a new way, in a different way. to love without strings, without something in it for you. It's frightening at first, I'll agree. It's a little scary to not know where your life is going to go, to not have everything programmed out. Also, of course, my experience, or at least the way I teach, is I feel that people have to be extremely well-grounded in the physical world. Because having, you know, traveled the ashram circuit and, you know, that sort of thing, what I have observed is that most people get so up there in their second attention, and they get kind of out there, that they lose contact with basic reality. They think they're being spiritual and all they're doing is ruining their minds and not making much spiritual progress at all. A good sign of a person who has their meditation together is that their life is very successful also. You're able to think and function in the 20th century or whatever century or on whatever planet you happen to find yourself. It really doesn't matter, because if you can't do that, there's something lacking in the system, you see. So I think it's real important that you be versatile. You don't want to do the same thing all the time to the point where you get stuck in a structure. See, enlightenment is going beyond structure. It's going beyond isms. Religions are great, and forms of self-discovery are great, but the point of them is to take you beyond them and not to get stuck in them. You don't want to get stuck in anything, really, in self-discovery. How do you do that? Well, the secret really has to do with erasing the self, erasing the ego. Now, this is tricky because there is a need for a certain amount of self to exist in the world. In other words, if you go down the dry cleaners and you know, they ask you, what do you want? There has to be somebody there to say, my cleaning. Or suppose you're out in the world and somebody gives you a hard time. You know, you're just walking, you know, down the street, or you're in the store, department store, trying to exchange. Somebody gave you some useless gift, and you're in there, and you're trying to exchange it. And they say, I'm sorry, sir, but we can't. And then, you know, or they just, you know, someone starts to take advantage of you because they sense that you're a spiritual type, commonly known as a pushover. See? So they figure, here's someone I can manipulate and give a hard time to. See? So if there's nobody there, you'll just kind of go, oh, gosh, really? Oh, gee. See? So then we have to redefine our ideas or forget anything we know about enlightenment and God realization and meditation. Just throw it all away and start over every day. Because we're trying to go beyond forms. Yet there's tremendous etiquette in the enlightenment process. It's amazing. It's amazing, the etiquette. So what we're going to do then is we're going to start out with the person you are now. Okay, today, Susie Q. Public. Right, you are going to begin the process of self-discovery. Various trumpets sound, you know, archangels descend, and you know, all the usual stuff. And so Susie, oh, really? Me? How wonderful! Sort of the Miss Piggy consciousness. So then, great. The first thing, Susie, it's your first day as a student. Hi, Susie. How are you today? Please sit down, not too close. Yeah. You know, right? Yeah, you know, you're going to be realistic. You don't want to be that close to somebody's energy field, right? They're a beginner. You know, who knows what's in there? I mean, listen, it takes a long, thousands of lifetimes to clear it out, right? Got to go slowly. So, say, now, hi, Sue. Now, look, this is the thing. First thing we've got to work with is your current self. Now, Susie, you have the good fortune of being a woman. However, your good fortune is a difficult fortune because you have been conditioned by the world to think that you are a powerless being who is not very capable of almost anything. And because that's, you're a woman, that's the definition of woman in our society, in our world. So Susie, your task is going to be even bigger than the task of the guys because you have more conditioning. The first thing we're going to start with is the conditioning that you've gotten in this lifetime. Now, Susie, I know that you've had a lot of incarnations of spiritual practice. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be very interested in meditation, and you certainly wouldn't have found me, because I don't work with beginners at all. You know, I mean, you may just be starting meditation in this life, but I only work with people who've had lots and lots of incarnations doing this. And clearly you have, because that's why power brought you here. Okay, great. I know you've got it all inside you, and you're really frustrated right now, because you know you can do things that you just can't do now. And you know that these states of consciousness that you're in, and the clothing that you wear, and it's just not what you want. I understand that. You're not chic enough. Inwardly or outwardly, but we can take care of that. But in order to get back all that knowledge that you've already got inside you, the first thing we have to do in the enlightenment process is deal with who you are now and wash away all the conditioning from this lifetime. Once we clear how they've screwed you up in this life, okay, then we can take on the samskaras, the deeper tendencies from your other lifetimes. But of course, every time we clear a level, lo and behold, you'll feel great. You'll feel wonderful. You know, it's like getting a good haircut. And you just walk out and, you know, hey, they did it right, you see? So you'll feel really good. So, this is LA talk. So we have to say, now the first thing I want you to do is you got to meditate every day. It's real important. It's more important to meditate for an hour every day than 5 hours every other day. Because you have to start to put little holes in time. Right now, Sue, you're in a world, okay, of desires and emotions and feelings and thoughts, most of which aren't even yours. These are thoughts and ideas and impressions that were given to you. You were programmed by your world and your society to feel, you know, and it all starts with sex. They define you sexually, okay? You're in blue or you're in pink. You're a little boy, you're a little girl. And now they're going to tell you what that means. But obviously the people who are telling you don't have it all that together, because they're not exactly happy. They're not exactly enlightened. They're not having a great time with their lives. They're doing the best they can. But for some reason, power has brought you to this point where you're having an encounter with someone who's gone beyond time and space, and who says that you can do the same thing. It's not that difficult. As a matter of fact, it's your destiny. But there's still certain things that you have to do to make it work. So the first is we've got to set up a meditation schedule. Okay, you need that meditation every day, because in that period of time, whether it's a half an hour or 45 minutes, once or twice a day when you're sitting there, gradually as you learn to stop thought, you'll open a doorway to another world. That doorway will not necessarily close at the end of meditation. That is to say, the light, the kundalini energy, the power, the beauty, the perceptions of God, all those things will continue to flood through you during the day. So, Sue, start every morning with meditation. Get up, take a shower, be clean, feel good, sit down and meditate, because your mind hasn't been active all night. You see, after you've been out in the world and you've been thinking a lot, it's much harder to meditate. So always start the day with meditation. Then run off to work, and during the day now you've got to do some yoga. It's really important. Yoga means union with everything. So what I'd like you to do is watch your mind during the day. And every time you start to think about the past, don't let it happen, because it's gone. And when you think about the past, you're identifying with a person whom you no longer are. Susie, you're anybody you want to be. But you've already seen the movie that we shot about your past, and it was a good movie, maybe. Maybe it wasn't. But we don't want to do a rerun. We want to get you in a new take here, okay? So let's forget the past. Every time you think about the past during the day, push it out of your mind. Just say, no. That's your mantra, Susie. Your mantra is no. Every time you start to think about the horrible experience you had, okay, when you were 5, the wonderful experience you had when you were 20, okay, the mediocre experience you had when you were 30, whatever it is, no. We're not interested. We've done it. We know. Thinking about that, Susie, is not going to make you any different. It's not going to change you. Let's not worry about tomorrow, because we all know that tomorrow is going to be a horrible day, because every day is a horrible day on the planet Earth. It's fact. So we know already it's going to be beat, so let's not worry about it. Let's just assume it's going to be terrible, but we're going to have a good time anyway. You know what Rama says? Rama says, life sucks wherever you go, but you can still have a good time if you know how. And the reason it's going to be horrible, Susie, is because those people out there are not going to leave you alone. They're going to try and mold you and condition you and make you unhappy. They're going to try and drain your personal power, okay, and just reduce you to rubble. They want you to just be another automaton walking around there in a machine-like existence. You're not going to, because they're afraid of women with power. They're scared to death of them. And if you start to get powerful, Susie, you're going to threaten like the whole male power structure. And we got a problem there. So we've got to be discreet about this. We can't let them know. We must consider your wardrobe, Susie. It's real important because the way people project energy towards you, which is half the battle, to be honest with you, depends upon how you look and how you dress. It's very, very important, whether you're a man or a woman, because as an evolved soul, you're very sensitive. You're all psychic, and you pick up energy more than you realize. Most of the thoughts inside you, Susie, are not your own. They're the people around you, but you're a psychic sponge. You've had 30,000 incarnations. You've developed your psychic abilities in past lives. I remember you in Atlantis. You were the one on the left in the temple in the back. You gave me a hard time then. Don't you give me a hard time now. Now listen to me. This time, get it right, all right? We don't have time. You know, this is the Kali Yuga. The end of the world is not that far away, so we want to get it together and get out of here. Okay, we got to beat feet. So look, we got to do something. You look terrible. Susie, why don't you wear makeup? You're into holistic health. Big deal. What's that going to do for your enlightenment? Maybe it's nice for your body. Wear a little makeup, okay? Because if you don't, you're going to be picked right out, all right? Wear a little black, Susie. It's a little more powerful. You've got to have a more powerful image as a woman. Your friend Bob over there, maybe he should soften his image a little bit, a little more androgynous. Because maybe he's been defined, they brought him up in a way and told him that you're a guy and you're afraid. It's no good to be a girl. There's something wrong with it. Women are inferior, they're second class. Bob, you can't be like that. Don't be a girl, Bob. Be a man. Right? But they never say that to Susie. They don't say, Susie, don't be a man. Right? So Bob, maybe they've pushed you out in an extreme too, and they've tried to make you into some kind of desensitized macho being that you're not. Sure, you can be tough. Why not? You can be a great warrior, but still be soft inside and unattached when necessary. Actually, you'll make a better warrior. Now, we have to, so you got to get this meditation going every day. Great. Okay. We got to work on the wardrobe. It's fun. Okay, we'll go over to Bullock's. We'll get new clothes. That'll be fun. All right. Okay, new image. Now, I know what you're going to buy. You're going to buy the same old stuff again. No way. Okay, we've got to go with a whole new image here. A little bit of makeup. That'll be nice. Okay, how's your body doing? You should be getting more exercise. Because as you advance and the kundalini starts to surge through you, your body needs to be in pretty good shape. It's real, real important. Your subtle body is pretty trashed by your experiences in the world. You know, men project just anger and hostility towards women all the time. And so you pick all that up in your subtle body, and it's like acid. You know, particularly when you have sex with somebody, you have to be very careful who you have sex with. Yeah, you can have sex, sure, I mean. But you have to be very careful because men get very threatened by sex, you see. And it's not their fault. I mean, it's not their fault. But they were brought up to feel that they have to always be like the raper, the conqueror, or the performer, you see. And so naturally, they feel all this power in you because women are innately much more powerful than men are. And so this need to, you know, to control. Now, we know that you've been controlling him all along. That's obvious. And not letting him know. That's clever on your part. But the only problem with that, Susie, is that, you know, granted that, you know, he thinks he gets sexually excited, but you're just pushing energy through him and not letting him know. And that male ego just goes for it. But the problem with that, Sue, is that when you do that, you're putting yourself into a duality situation. And also, of course, when you're just pushing it out like that, then you get all this energy thrown back at you. So the sex thing, you know, do whatever you feel is right, but just try and be more unattached about it. And just pick people who don't have so many problems inside, because I can see you've run into a lot of them. Let's see, what else have you got to do? Oh, you've got to just be exposed to more highly evolved people. You should go someplace, and I know you're not a joiner. Now, I don't blame you. I was never a joiner myself. I'm definitely a loner if I've ever met one. But at the same time, I know that it is a gnarly world out there with all kinds of people who aren't very interested in love and selfless giving. And so we evolved types have to stick together. That's the lesson that we've learned. Because when we don't stick together, they get us. every time. When we stick together and we network our energies, then our power is impeccable, and they just cannot trash us. They can't shoot us, crucify us, burn us, French fry us, whatever it may be. They can't get us. But when we all go our own way, I know you need solitude, you like to do your own thing, I'm all for it. But you've got to go find a group of people, what in I Ching they call an organic community of people who you feel good about. Doesn't matter which one. But pick one that you feel good about and be with those people. You need the association. Now, during the day, you've got to learn to be kind to everybody, Susie. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. I don't care if it's the lady with the dry cleaning, if it's the person who cut you off in front of the freeway. You just have to learn to have more of a reverence for life, because that reverence for life will make you very, very happy. Of course, meditating every day gives you the energy to do this in the inside. But you've got to become more sensitive. I mean, that waitress, Susie, you're a woman, you think you should know. Being a waitress is the worst job on earth. Okay, and you go into that restaurant and she comes over and you treat her like she's just some kind of a robot or something. That is a fully sensitive being, a sentient being, an evolution that's standing there taking your order. Don't look at them like they're some arbitrary being. That being has life as much as you do. Feelings. That doesn't mean you have to stare at them with a glassy look. But respect that being. I mean, relate. Just because other people don't doesn't mean that you shouldn't. But at the same time, you have to learn to be inaccessible. Don't tell people you meditate. Don't tell people that you're involved with self-discovery, because they don't understand. You think it's America, California, the 20th century, Los Angeles? Doesn't mean anything. Look who they just elected for president. That was our political note. So. Not that there was much of a choice. So, Susie, I mean, life is fantastic, but you've just got to, you got to get your tush and gear here. Now, what else can you do? Well, you could read spiritual books. Now, they're good. If you need to fall asleep and you can't fall asleep at night, read a spiritual book, you're out in a minute. Zone. Who do I recommend? Anybody who makes you high, but I think, there have been some genuine spiritual teachers, a lot of phonies, but there's some genuine. Ramakrishna, can't go wrong. Okay, he's a little heavy with the bhakti, gets a little carried away, but it worked for him, right? But he's inspiring. He was a nut, but he was a spiritual nut. Ramana Maharshi, now that's Jnana Yoga. It might be a little thick for you, okay, because you might want to run away and just, but you just don't understand what he's saying yet. He was very techie. He was a good one. The Way of Life by Lao Tzu. Impeccable knowledge. Shankara, again, more Jnana Yoga. I like it, but looking. But it's the highest path, Jnana Yoga. It's a good path. The Tibetans are fun to read. It doesn't matter. Whatever you like, Yogananda, whatever suits you. They were all trying to say something that couldn't be said in words. Most of them didn't write because they were just too gone. You have to understand, Susie, what it's like to be enlightened. I mean, most of the time, Susie, I don't even know, I'm not even here. I'll just be like sitting and I'm just gone. The samadhi takes you over. And I just dissolve in eternity again and again. It's tough to, because how can you say, when you are everything, what are you going to say? You read the books where they describe it and it's real nice. But it's not like that. It's not like that. A few of them have written, because that was what they, that was just how the Dharma worked through them. Most of them don't write. Because if you're really meant to get there, when you're advanced, you will find someone who's enlightened. You'll be drawn to them, and you'll hang out together. You will see each other from time to time, and a beautiful interplay will occur between the two of you. See, Susie, if you really want enlightenment real, real badly, you probably won't get it. Let me give you a hint to start with here. The way to go about it is selfless giving. This is just my opinion. You start out with love. You meditate on the heart chakra, you learn to love, and you just feel this wonderful love flowing through you. But I think the hip way to go about it is not to be so concerned with your own realization. It'll happen when it's supposed to, okay? God's got a computer program worked out, your number's up at a certain pow, right? It'll just happen. What's important is not self-realization, but what you can do for others. That's the emblem of a person who is really ready, who's in the ballpark at all. So Susie, what you need to do is begin to think more of the welfare of others. Like, what can you do for other people? And you say, well, what can I do for other people? And well, there's an easy answer. Smile more, be kinder. You know, you don't have to get up on stage in front of thousands of people and give talks about spirituality. Every life you touch is something. Every energy, every thought you send out affects others. You can be sitting in your room. Susie, I can sit in my room and I can affect thousands and millions of people when I meditate. They'll never know it. They won't know my name. That's fine. Who needs to? What's the big deal? I'm nothing anyway. I know that. But it has an effect, a good effect. Sometimes you don't believe in God, I know. Well, I wouldn't believe in God the way they describe God either. It sounds ridiculous. I mean, you say to yourself, what kind of being is going to make a world like this? With all this horror and suffering, and I understand, it's a difficult thing. But don't look at it that way. You've got to make friends with God. You know, just God has gotten bad press. You know, I mean, men have made God in their image. I mean, God is a man, Susie. What are you going to do with that, right? You know what I mean? And what a start. God's not a man. God's not a woman. God is everything. Everything. We're talking artificial intelligence here. We should do another meditation. This time, I'd like you to meditate not by focusing on any particular chakra or place, but I'd like you to meditate on something, and that something is light. Light is our substance. We are literally made up of light, of energy. When you meditate very well, you will just be nothing but light. You will see that that's all that there is endless light, timeless, ecstatic, perfect light. And that this whole world appearance is just like a movie that you're watching. And that you should be neither attracted nor repulsed by it. Light and life is interesting. But the universe is endless. We're all endless. We are that light. You are God. In essence and in substance. I'd like you to meditate on light. Now, how do you do that? Well, just by feeling it. You don't have to picture it. You don't have to see vast rays of light shooting through your mind. Not necessary. Meditation is a very quiet, very personable experience. It's very subtle, yet totally powerful in the changes it brings about in your awareness and your attention. So what I'd like you to do is just to close your eyes to start with, and then just to consider light, just to feel it. And as we all do that together, we will invoke a great light, a great energy that will transmute us all, that will change us all forever. If you'd like to, if you do need a sense of focus, I would recommend focusing in the heart chakra, right in the center of the chest, which is the center of love. Sometimes it's very easy if you focus here to feel light spreading through your being. Or you can not focus on a particular point, but just feel light. Imagine a sea of light, an ocean of endless light stretching in every direction endlessly, never beginning and never ending. Nothing but light, forever. When thoughts come in and out of your mind, ignore them. Stop them if you can, but don't get too hung up in them. Just ignore them. Let the meditation take you. Feel the energy in the room shifting. As we meditate together, I'm bringing you through a series of dimensional shifts. Planes of attention are whizzing by you one after another. You're out in space and you're traveling. Some of you are more aware of it, some less, just dependent upon whether you've developed your spiritual sensitivity. But just relax and let it go. As you sit here, you're storing power. When you leave tonight, you will leave with much more power than you came in. How you use that power is up to you. But an evening like this is an evening of great power. So the best thing is just to have happy thoughts, if you must have thoughts, but try not to get too involved in them. Don't judge. Don't wonder what you're getting out of it. Leave yourself alone. Take a vacation. Just relax a little bit. think of light, and just let go. And you will feel this energy, this light, pass through you and change you forever. Actually. Good. Let's meditate for just a few more minutes.